Everyone say, will you turn to someone and ask them this question? Will you believe? Well, let's find out what yes means. Well, technically, it doesn't matter what it means. Yes is yes. It's perfect. Thank you. One of the reasons I needed the light turned down, it's really a great thing. Since God took care of my cataracts, I see so much light reflecting off of things. Now, I never knew they were this bright before. I would see normally this room looked dim like this. I thought this was the way it was. And I would think, why can't we put more lighting in here? And then once God took care of the cataracts, bang, all of this light appeared. I used to have all my electronic devices on as bright as they can go. Now I turn them on, I'm like, whoa, turn that down. So it's not an inconvenience. I love being in the position where I have to do that, but it's because of God's faithfulness and because I chose to believe. In Mark 16, verse 14 to 20, in the Message Bible, this is the aftermath of the resurrection. It says, still later, as the 11, these are the 11 disciples who in a matter of days are going to become apostles, they were eating supper. He, Jesus, appeared to them and took them to task most severely for their stubborn unbelief, refusing to believe those who had seen him raised up. Then, after taking him to task, after getting the unbelief out of them, then he said, go into the world, go everywhere, and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe, is damned. These are some of the signs that will accompany believers. They will throw out demons in my name. They will speak in new tongues. They will take snakes in their hands. They will drink poison and not be hurt. They will lay hands on the sick and make them well. Then the Master Jesus, after briefing them, was taken up into heaven, and he sat down beside God in the place of honor, and the disciples went everywhere. Preaching. They went everywhere. The Master working right with them, validating the message with indisputable evidence. Now, remember, this is about 40 days after the resurrection. And the Romans are trying to find out who stole the body, because they didn't want to believe it was but that Jesus was resurrected. So they were hunting for believers. So these believers were really in hiding. They were trying to keep a low profile because they were afraid of the Romans. They had forgotten all the things that Jesus said, but they were looking at current circumstances, just like we're doing today. We're looking at current circumstances, and as believers, we're not believing what Jesus said. We're not believing it. Acts 1, the first three verses, says, a former account which I prepared, O Theophilus. This means it was just a letter to Theophilus. And he said, I made a continuous report dealing with all of the things which Jesus began to do and to teach. Until the day when he ascended, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had instructed and commanded the apostles, his special messengers, whom he had chosen. Now listen what he says. To them, his apostles, after he'd shown himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden and on the cross by a series of many convincing demonstrations, unquestionable evidences, and infallible proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and talking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. The Message Bible gives a little different account of that in Acts, of the version in Acts. It says, still later, as the 11 were eating supper, he appeared and took them to task most severely for their stubborn unbelief, refusing to believe. Refusing to believe those who had seen him raised up. Now, it says he took them to task most severely. What does that mean? Anybody ever gotten mad at someone? No, you can raise your hand. I'm not going to hold it against you. I'll raise both my hands because I've gotten mad. I've gotten angry. So if you don't want to raise your hand to mad, you can raise it to angry. Did you talk at the same tone of voice? Or were you very intense? Almost ugly? How many of you got very emotional, making your point? See, that's how Jesus was when he threw the people out of the temple and turned. How do you nicely grab a temple and just throw it over? No, he went in and threw things this way and took lashes and beat everybody out. Well, that's the type of mood, that's the type of disposition, that's the type of attitude he had when he took his disciples to task because they wouldn't believe. Not that they couldn't believe. It said they refused to believe. Jesus wasn't just having a bad day. Stubborn means unreasonable obstinance, a fixed or set purpose or opinion. It's like, I don't care what anybody says, this is what I'm doing. Even if you're shown that it's wrong, but because you don't want to be wrong, you're going to do it anyway. Why? Because you want to. That's stubborn. But here's something that I think is critical to our understanding why Jesus was so angry and so desperate for them to get it. The scriptures say they were refusing to believe. Now listen to this. By definition, refusing is declining to accept something offered. I mean, someone has something for you, and you're like, I don't want that. No, but this is really good. It's the way, it's the truth, it's the light. I don't want it. I have ways. I can find my own way. You know, declining to allow a request. Your spirit is saying, I want to believe that. You're like, we are not believing that. You're refusing. It's expressing a determination not to do something or even discuss it. I don't even want to talk about it. No, but let me tell you what the word says. I know what the word says. I have 15 Bibles. Plus I have Bible Gateway, Bible Hub, Yo Bible. Actually, it's You Bible. But I have all of these things, so I don't need you to tell me what the word says. Yeah, but you're refusing to believe it. Jesus said in the last part of John, of the book of John, he said, every scripture is God-breathed. Every scripture, and profitable. Every scripture. It also means declining to submit to. So again, the problem wasn't that they could not believe. The problem is that they would not believe. They were refusing to believe. People get in trouble today because you tell them the truth. Look, just relax. Be patient. It'll happen. They refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe that sometimes. Why? I want it now. I believe I've waited long enough, and I get over into the complaining mode. God, all I wanted to do was play basketball. You're the one who put me into all of this. You could have left me alone. I'd have been happy. You know what he says when I say that? Nothing. Nothing. And that silence is so loud, it's deafening. Okay? But in addition to that, that's what stubborn means. That's what refusing means. But when you decline to submit, what you're saying is, I know who you are. I'm not going with what you said. Yeah, I know you said you're the Son of God, but we saw you arrested. We saw you beaten up. We saw you hanging on a cross. We saw you die. We saw you get buried. And you want us to believe your words? No. Now people are going around, of course they're going to say you were raised from the dead, because they don't want to look like fools. So no, we're not going to believe that. Peter saw Jesus. He didn't recognize him right away, but he recognized him, but he was in that group. It doesn't say Jesus appeared to the 11 and he took 10 of them to task because Peter got it. No, it says he took all of them to task. So that must mean that Peter still had some doubts. See, folks, the purpose for believing was there. The opportunity to believe was there. The power to believe was there. And the one in whom you can believe in was there. But they refused to believe. Just like we refuse. In every situation, the purpose of believing is there, the opportunity to believe is there, the power to believe is there, and the one in whom we can believe is there. We just have to choose to believe him and then act like we believe. See, they were afraid of the Romans, so they refused to believe, because if you believe, when you really believe what God says, guess what will line up with it? Your actions. What else will line up with it? Your words. When your words and actions don't line up, you don't really believe. And it's not that we really mean to operate in disbelief, but if believing puts me here, and for whatever reason, I want to be over here, well, I can't be over here and there at the same time. So I have to make a choice. And here's the question. Think about this. If I can go back and forth with my believing, am I really believing? You need to think about that. Because if I am really believing, I'd be steady. No matter what comes, I'd do the same thing. I'd act the same way. I'd say the same words. So, and I'm the only one that can determine that. You're the only one that can determine it for you. If we're going back and forth, there's a reason. We believe this for now, but something else comes, and now I believe something else. I'm going to tell you the danger in that in a few minutes. I started reading these scriptures and getting excited. Now remember, Jesus said to them that there would be signs that would accompany who? Believers. He didn't say followers. Because people follow you for different reasons. He said these signs will accompany believers. Believers will throw out demons in his name. Believers will speak in new tongues. So wait a minute. If you're not believing, how are you going to receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking other tongues? If you can't believe Jesus is resurrected from the dead, how can we believe anything he said would happen? How can you be the way, the truth, and the life and dead at the same time? So we don't believe it, and we flounder because we're not understanding why things are happening. Now, I'm just going to go through some different things that Jesus were believing was critical. We'll start with Mark 11, 23. To go there, I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason," what reason? The reason that if you believe, it will take place. "For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it." Why? Because of your belief. Because of your belief. In Mark 5, trying to get this rattle out, Maureen. There we go. Thank you. Mark 5, Passion Translation. This is after Jesus and a couple of his disciples were on the Mount of Transfiguration. They're coming back. It says, "Just then a man saw that it was Jesus, so he pushed through the crowd and threw himself down at his feet." This isn't the account of the Mount of Transfiguration. This is just before he encountered the woman with the issue of blood. Jairus, a ruler of the Jewish official, who was in charge of the synagogue, he threw himself down at the feet of Jesus, and he pleaded with Jesus, saying over and over, "Please come with me. My little daughter is at the point of death, and she's only 12 years old. Come and lay your hands on her and heal her, and she will live." So he must have believed that that would happen if Jesus came with him and did that. It says he kept saying over and over and over. Immediately, Jesus went with him. And the huge crowd followed, pressing him on both sides. During that time, that's when he had the encounter with the woman with the issue of blood. I'm not going to go into that. So you can drop down to verse 35. It says, "Before he had finished speaking, people arrived from Jairus' house and pushed through the crowd to give Jairus the news. 'There's no need to trouble the master any longer. Your daughter has died.' But Jesus refused to listen to what they were told. And he said to Jairus, 'Don't yield to fear. All you need to do is to keep on believing.'" "Sir, I know you're coming to Jesus and your plan is to have Jesus come and lay his hands on your daughter, but it's too late for that. Your daughter's died. She's dead. Jesus said, don't get over into fear. Only believe. You keep believing. Keep believing what? What brought you to me was belief that I could do something about this. Keep believing. Don't pay attention to what they say. And they kept on going. Now, let me tell you real quickly about this man. Bible, you know, doesn't say much about his disposition, but there's some things you can pull from his actions. Your child is at the point of death. You know the only one that can do something about it is Jesus. And you are thinking time is of the essence. I got to get Jesus here, and I got to get him here now. So you go and you talk to him. And he says, okay. And while you're going, Jesus asks the question, who touched me? And they said, what do you mean, who touched you? We were in a crowd of people. Everybody's bumping into you. He said, no. Virtue went out of me. And he looked and he saw this woman. And the woman started to explain what's been going on in her life the last 12 years. How long do you think that took? Do you think she just went up to Jesus and said, Jesus, I've had this issue for 12 years. I touched you. I'm healed. Praise the Lord. I'm fine. No, she probably gave him the dates, the times, the name of the doctors, the procedures he's tried, telling him before this happened, I had about 6,853 shekels in my account. Now I'm down to only 22. So I got about another month, and then I have nothing. What is Jairus doing? Is he like, come on, my daughter's going to, she's not going to make it. Will this woman just shut up? Jesus, come on, we got to go. No, Jesus said, I'll come. The man said, if you lay hands on her, she'll live. Jesus said, okay, what difference does it make if she's breathing or not breathing? If she's going to live when he lays hands on her, key is for her to live. So Jesus told them, all you need to do is keep on believing. And Jesus only took the family. You know, the father, Peter, and the two brothers, Jacob and John. And when they arrived at the home of the ruler, they encountered a noisy uproar among the people, for they were all weeping and wailing. Upon entering the home, he said to him, why all this grief and weeping? Don't you know the girl is not dead, but merely asleep? Then everyone began to ridicule him and make fun of him. Folks, you're going to operate in faith. You're going to tell people you believe, and they're going to laugh at you. They're going to say, oh, this is phony. This stuff doesn't work. They're just trying to get your money. Why do you think Jesus, there was still some symbolism in Jesus putting them out? You know what that symbolism is? Get rid of unbelief. He got all the unbelief out of the house. He put it out. He put him out. He kept the man because the man, the father, had demonstrated that he believed. He kept the girl's mother because it was the girl's mother and she was believing. She wanted her daughter alive. And he kept his two disciples. Everybody else, he put out. We're going to have to do the same thing. If we're going to believe to the degree we are supposed to believe, we're going to have to put out unbelief. whether it be in the form of people or thoughts, most of the time, it's going to be both. The people are going to say things that put thoughts in your head, and you're going to start doubting, and that doubt will turn into a refusal to believe. So you have to get rid of all of them. Verse 41 said, he tenderly clasped the child's hands in his and said to her in Aramaic, Talitha Kum, which means, little girl, wake up from the sleep of death. Instantly, the 12-year-old girl sat up, stood to her feet, and started walking around the room. Everyone was overcome with astonishment seeing this miracle. Jesus wasn't astonished. Why? He said this is what he was going to do, and he knew it was going to happen. So it was no big deal to him. And then we have John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever do what? Whosoever does what? What will happen to whosoever that believe? They'll not perish, but have everlasting life. You're going to find yourselves in positions where you think you're going to just die. Don't use that as an opportunity to refuse to believe. That's when you really need to believe, because he that believeth will have life. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, all of these scriptures, they let us know the purpose of believing is there, the opportunity to believe is there, the power to believe is there, and the one in whom we can believe is there. It's there. We just have to stop making a choice to refuse to believe. Because as I told you about those 11, it's not that they couldn't believe, it's they would not believe. And we always have a choice. A few years ago, I received what I call an HGR as I was teaching a Bible class on healing. HGR just means Holy Ghost revelation. The Holy Ghost said to me, it is so important that you believe the Bible is God's word and that it is true. If you don't have that settled, it will not matter how many scriptures you use to support a statement. If you don't believe the scriptures are true, you won't have what the scriptures say you have. So there are people that, oh yeah, no, I believe, and they start going down the list of healing scriptures. I get calls, the ministry gets calls. Can you send me it that is written for my healing? I want to say, why? What are you going to do with it? Can you send me it is written for my children? Can you send me it is written for my finances? Why? Well, I'm having some financial issues. What does God say about it? Well, you know, that's why I'm calling you to get the scriptures. Well, folks, how are you going to believe what Jesus said if you don't know what he said? You don't have, as you see it, you don't have finances. God said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. You say, I can't afford the tithe. You can't afford not to. Why? Because you need God to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. And that's the seed time and harvest principle. If you don't sow, you don't reap. How many of you have grapefruit trees in your yard? Anybody? You have one? Not now. Why don't you have one now? How did it get in Jamaica? How did it wind up in Jamaica? No, but where did it come from? How did it get to your property? Right. Someone planted it, and because they planted it, how many years have you been enjoying grapefruits from it? You see, we make the mistake of eating our last seed. Or wearing our last seed. Or talking on our last seed because I got to pay my phone bill. But God said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. God said, given it shall be given again unto you. God said, I am unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver, not hoarder. So you can know that and not believe it and refuse to give. Because you're allowing circumstances to dictate whether or not you'll believe it or not. And if we are really believers, we don't care what the circumstances are. So if you don't believe the scriptures are true, you won't have what the scriptures say you have. Because you won't think they apply to you. But there's another reason why Jesus got so upset with his disciples. Would you go to Matthew 9, please? I'm going to share it in the Message Bible. Start at verse 27. It says, as Jesus left the house, he was followed by two blind men crying out. Now, I got to stop there a minute. How do you get followed by somebody that's blind? If you see them following you, you say, go a different direction. And they still follow you. And they were crying out, mercy, son of David, mercy on us. So they're blind, but they know it's Jesus. When Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. How many of you would let two strangers just follow you into your home? Especially if they're supposed to be blind. And Jesus said to them, they went to his home, and Jesus said to them, do you really believe I can do this? They said, why, yes, Master. You got to remember this. He touched their eyes and said, become what you believe. It happened. They saw. Why did they see? They believed they could see. And their sight came. Jesus knew when he came into the room where his disciples were wallowing in unbelief that they would become what they believe. He knows that we will become what we believe. So he's doing everything he can do to get us to stop refusing to believe. Jesus is never going to remove unbelief from the vicinity. Just like, hey, in the garden, he could have chosen not to plant the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then if he does that, he doesn't have to go to the cross. He doesn't have to be the chastisement for our peace. He doesn't have to do any of those things. But now, Man doesn't have a choice. Why is that important? It's important for God that we trust him of our own free will. He could have made us where we had no choice, but he gave us a choice. He told them, become what you believe, and it will happen. So we have to understand, we have to decide what is it that we want to become. People say, well, I want a closer walk with God. Do you believe that? Yes, I believe it. You do? Everything's okay. I just want to make a point. I want to be sitting on the couch talking with you, not preaching to you. If you believe, if you really believe that what God said is true, why aren't we doing it? Do we ever think of that? If we believe it, why are we doing something else? If we believe it, why do we let circumstances talk us out of it? Well, actually, it doesn't talk us out of it. It lets you know you have another option. You have another option. But in order to take this option, you have to refuse that option. That's what it means. We have to, folks, especially in this time, like in one of the song we sang earlier, we believe, in this hopeless generation, well, I don't think it's hopeless. I always have hope. But because of all of the chaos, I believe. There's some things that are never going to go away. Chaos is never going to go away. Well, let me rephrase that. There's some things that are not going to go away until the devil is locked 4,000 years. But as long as the devil is loose, there are going to be worldly issues, there are going to be social issues, there are going to be racial issues. There are going to be political issues. That's why God said no soldier gets entangled with the civilian affairs of this world. No Christian should be wrapped up in what's going on in this world, because only the Christians have the right answer. The only way you can change people's hearts is to get them saved and come into the knowledge of the truth, and then you'll start seeing changes in the attitudes of people. Racism is not a 2021 issue. Racism is from the dawn of mankind issue. Every generation had slaves. And we talk about what's done to black people. You look at what happens within any tribal wars over in Africa. Make what's happening here in the United States look like a party. And what happens? We have missionaries that go into Africa. What do? They get the tribal leaders, the tribal elders, the witch doctors to believe. When you get a witch doctor to believe, that's a huge deal. And that's one of the reasons why we support Rhema. They have more missionaries out there than any other place that I know. They train them and send them out. And they get people saved. There was a couple that got married here several years ago that went to Bible school and then were going to Africa. And their family and friends, people that were close to them, were encouraging them not to go. And the reason they were encouraging them not to go is because they were going into a region that was notorious for having warlords and crime lords and drug lords and everything except the Lord of Lords. They said, if you go anywhere, don't go there. And if you do go there, don't go out at night. Guess what they did? They went there and they walked the pathways because there were no streets. They walked through the bush at night, praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking prosperity over that area. Now, it's one of the richest areas. One of the richest. It's one of the safest. Because they dared to believe. They didn't care what people said. They didn't care about the reputation of the area. Some of you have diagnosis and you're a little skittish because you know the reputation of the attacker. And the reputation's probably true, but there's one thing you forgot. It's never come up against you. I've never had this before. Well, it's never had you. I don't know if I can handle this. Yes, you can handle this, but when you handle this, it can't handle you. I don't know if I believe that. Then make your arrangements. You're like, that sounds kind of cold, Pastor. I'm just telling you, that either you believe, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So if you are not believing in him, you put yourself in a position to perish. That's why I say things the way I say them. I want you to get it, to let you know that in some cases your life depends on whether or not you choose to believe. Or are you going to keep refusing to believe? I got to tell you this. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God, think about whoever can just get near to God, must first necessarily believe. It's necessary for you to first, the first thing you do is to believe that God exists and that's the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Before you can even get close to God, you have to believe God is real. And as I keep seeking him, he's going to do great things for me. And I got to show you Luke 24. In Luke 24, and this is Luke's account, really, of Mark 16. Beginning at verse 46. And Jesus said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's, you know, where Mark says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Same thing, different translation, different writer. He says, and ye are his witnesses. You're going to be the ones to tell people that this is true. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in Jerusalem. That means wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So Jesus was telling them, you guys are going to be immersed in heavenly power. But if you don't believe that Jesus is alive, you're not going to wait in Jerusalem. You're not going to wait anywhere. You're not going to believe you're going to get anything. Because what is this, dead man walking? I don't believe this. A dead person can't do anything. As a matter of fact, who am I talking to? A dead person can't talk. I must be having an hallucination. I'd say it would be the pepperoni pizza I ate last night, but they didn't have pepperoni pizza back then. So it had to be something else. Yeah, it was. Stubborn unbelief. Everybody say stubborn unbelief. I don't have any. Okay. And the last thing that I'm going to tell you, I started talking to you about it earlier. This is the account of Jesus when he came back down from the Mount of Transfiguration. It says, a man out of the crowd answered, teacher, I brought my mute son made speechless by a demon to you who seizes it, who, whenever it seizes him, throws him on the ground, he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, goes stiff as a board. I told your disciples, hoping they could deliver him, but they couldn't. These folks were hand-picked, hand-trained, had 24/7 access, and they couldn't do what they were trained to do. Jesus said, what a generation. No sense of God. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here. They brought him, and when the demon saw Jesus, it threw the boy into a seizure. Why? He was trying to get Jesus out of belief. And I don't care what happens, you ain't getting Jesus over into unbelief. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has this been going on? Ever since he was a little boy. Many times it pitches him into the fire or the river to do away with him. Not just with that, I'm saying, wait a minute. This demon is so powerful. Since this older boy was a little boy, it's been trying to kill him, but couldn't. That should tell us something. And then he says something incredible. If you can do anything, do it. Have a heart and help us. He's speaking to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, if you can do anything. And Jesus said, if. Almost in disdain. If. What do you mean, if? Do you not know who I am? If? Jesus said, there are no ifs among believers. Anything can happen. No sooner were the words out of his mouth that the father cried, then I believe. Help me with my doubts. And what he was saying was, I believe, but I need help believing for long periods of time. I believe, but I get impatient. I believe, but I want this to happen right now. Help me with that. That's what he's saying. I want to be able to believe until I see it, no matter how long it takes. I was waiting because amen goes right there. Seeing the crowd was forming fast, Jesus gave that vile spirit its marching orders. Dumb and deaf spirit, I command you out of him and stay out. Screaming and with much thrashing about, it left. But the boy looked like he was dead. Why? An opportunity for folks to develop unbelief. That's why. Yeah, see, Jesus killed him. Folks that had their cell phones. Jesus kills the deaf boy. Had it on Instagram. See, heal or kill. And like what happens on the news, yeah, they'll show the boy looking dead, but they won't show him. They won't show Jesus taking his hand and lifting him up and the boy walking away. But here's the thing, folks. His disciples came to him and said to him, "How come we couldn't throw it out?" And most translations say, "This one only comes out by prayer and fasting." I don't have a problem with that personally, but my thought is, and how come Jesus didn't say, "Well, what? Bring him back in 2-3 days because I need to go and pray and I need to fast so I can find out what I need to do about it." It doesn't say that. So, but the prayer and fasting had to mean something else. It's talking about, in order to deal with this type of demon, with this type of demonic activity, with this type of spiritual powers, your life has to be right. Your relationship with God needs to be right. Your connection with him needs to be solid. And I like the way the Message Bible puts it in Matthew's account of the story. The disciples had Jesus off to themselves. They asked, "Why couldn't we throw it out?" And here's Jesus' answer. "Because you're not yet taking God seriously." And he tells them something else. The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain, "Move," it would move, and there's nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. So he was telling his disciples, the reason you couldn't deal with this is because you don't believe, and the reason you don't believe is because you have no faith. That's why they couldn't throw the thing out. They had no faith. They didn't believe. Yeah, it would look good. News at 11, disciples cast out demon. They would have gotten patted on the back. But the problem was not, hear this clearly, folks, please. The problem is not the power of the devil. The problem is a lack of belief by the believer. We're not believing. And when you're not believing, you're operating in your own strength and you don't have the strength to handle the things you're going to be facing. And the choice is 100% ours. I got to close with this question. You're always going to be presented with an opportunity to accept something other than what God said. Always. The only question is, are you going to allow yourself to keep believing, or are you going to refuse to believe, and you're the only one who can decide? If I could decide for you, I would, but I can't. It's enough for me to decide for me. I'm not going to stand here and tell you it's easy, but I can tell you this. Once you get to the place when you believe, it's easy. You know why it's easy? You've already got it settled. You walk around like the song we were saying, "I believe, yes, 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 I believe. And because I believe, I speak and I can do anything. Exceeding abundantly above what I ask or think, because he is able to work all things to my favor, but I have to be faithful to believe. See, I believe, yes, 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 I believe. Go ahead, say, I believe. Yes, yes, yes. I believe. Believe in God. That's what you have to do. Choose it or lose it. I recommend that we all choose it. We don't want to lose it because we stand a lot to lose by refusing to believe. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for the word that you shared, that it fell on open ears. It fell on tender hearts. It fell on open minds that it could take in, understand, comprehend, and put to work the principles that you shared with us this morning. We thank you, Lord, that despite everything that's going on, we still have the opportunity to believe. And nothing can ever take away our right to believe you. No legislation, no country, no race, nobody can take away our belief. We believe what we believe. And Father, we repent for those times when we've refused to believe and went off on our own way. And we're going to get better. We're getting better with that, Lord. We will get to the place where we just believe what you said, period, no matter what happens, period. And we give you for that. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing us the opportunities that we have to believe, for revealing to us the times when we are refusing to believe so that we can correct it. Because we want the benefits of believing, which is life, and life more abundantly, regardless of any situations. So we give you the praise, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. See, I believe, yes, 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 I believe. That needs to be our confession, no matter what happens. We need to know what God said, and we need to believe it. So if you don't know, for God's sakes, please call us. Get the healing scriptures. get it as written for my father. Get the resources that you need. And then don't let them become dust collectors. Then get the information off the pamphlet into your heart. Because what are you going to do? How many of you have cell phones? Have you ever gone into areas where you had no signal? Where everyone was live and out, yes. Well, in that same vein, you can be in a situation where you don't have access to a pastor. You don't have access to a Bible. You don't have access to your healing scripture planters or your card that you usually have with you. You don't have access to it. What are you going to do, die? No, you have to get it inside you so you have something to pull out. The word needs to be in you. Yes. I don't know every scripture in the Bible. Far from it. But I know enough of what God said concerning me. And I don't just stay satisfied with that. I want to know more. So right now, the situations I face, I can handle them because God's not going to allow me to go through more than I'm able. The reason you're not going through it is because you don't want to. Say, I don't want to stay in this mess. Yes, you do. Pastor, how can you say that? When you believe and you speak, you can do anything. Exceeding abundantly above what you ask or think, because he is able. So if it's not happening in your life, you ain't believing. Want a mic? Because when you believe, there's truth to what Deacon Phillips said. When you believe, you'll speak it. You'll say it. And listen, let me do it emphatically again. Listen, folks. Stuff is going to come. Can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. It's going to come. I like this. I can do this in a live setting. You can't do this when you're streaming. You got to stand in front of the camera. But just because stuff comes doesn't mean you have to change the way you believe. It means you have to stick with what you say you believe. Knowing that if you stick with it, the circumstance, the situation, the problem will change. Now think about this. God said, add to your faith patience. So we have to believe, but there are things that we need to add to our belief. And the first thing he said to add to it is patience. Why? Because people become impatient very quickly. Why do they do it so quickly? They're not patient. They can't wait. The Bible says you will have it. Sometimes it happens instantly, sometimes it doesn't. Who cares? As long as it happens. God gives a promise concerning giving in Galatians. He says, in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. He didn't say in 30 days. He didn't say in 15 days. He didn't say in 2 hours. He said in due season. Okay, yes. Sometimes I wish I hadn't agreed to God to say everything he told me to say. Stop believing the shortcut scams. What do I mean by that? I'm trying to say this very tactfully, but I'm just going to say it. Stop believing the late night TV, send me $7.75, and you'll receive a tremendous harvest. Why do I say that? I'm not judging the individual. What I am judging is what the Word said. And the Word said, not grudgingly or of necessity. So you don't give $7.75 just because you want to get back something more. If God says give $7.75, then that's what you give. Period. But a lot of times we damage our faith, we damage our belief, going after things that are not really scriptural. And guess what? The Holy Ghost's job is to guide us into all truth. And he does. Every single time he does. He'll say to you, don't send a dime in. But we put ourselves in such a desperate state, we'll try anything. I was watching a movie once, and this one attorney was taking a position that all the other partners were against and was turning down a huge settlement because he thought he could get more. And the other owners were so desperate, they started buying lottery tickets trying to keep their business afloat when all this person had to do was be satisfied with what the offer was, everybody would have been fine. Some of us are believing, we're believing for a new car, we're believing for a new house, we're believing for new clothes, we're believing for all these things. When we have a car, we have a house, we have clothes, we have food, but we're not satisfied with what we have, we want something else. Okay, believe it, but meanwhile, enjoy and give thanks for what you have. And when God decides it's time to change it, guess what? In due season, you shall reap. But always enjoy what you have, what he's done for you. There was a movie called Little Giants. And it was this town, I believe, in Texas. And all of the there were two brothers. And one brother was an athletic All-American. The other brother was, you could say, kind of wimpy and not athletic. And so they each started a football team. The athletic brother had all of the great talent in the town, and the other one had everybody that was left. And they were playing a game for the right to have their name on this water tower. And the little giants, I mean, they were playing, they were getting pushed all over the field. They stuck together at halftime. They said, we're going out, we're going to win this game. They got themselves pumped up, they believed in themselves. They ran a play. It didn't look like they gained anything, but when they measured it, everybody started screaming, we gained a yard. And I started laughing because it needed 10 yards in order for it to really be meaningful. But they were so excited they gained a yard and they gave thanks because they gained a yard. The Bible tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You need $100. God gives you a quarter. Praise the Lord. I got a quarter. Thank you, God. And don't think about a quarter. God, I need much more than a quarter. With that type of attitude, you'll never get it. Be thankful because you can believe that God can do anything exceeding abundantly above what you ask or think because he is able. Now I'm going to stand up. In close, as I sit here, I'm going to talk to you for another hour. Because I haven't told you everything God and I talked about until 3:35 this morning. But he was talking. And I was listening, and I was recording. So you're going to hear a lot the next few times I'm with you about believing. Because when you believe and you speak, you can do anything. And we're not doing anything because we're not speaking, and we're not speaking because we're not believing. Or what to say it more accurately, we're speaking the wrong things because we're believing the wrong things. We have one enemy in life. You know who that is? The devil. Period. Not the Democrats, not the Republicans, not Caucasians, Hispanics, Jews. We have one enemy, the devil. Everybody other than the devil is precious to God. Everybody other than the devil, God sent Jesus to die for. Everybody other than the devil, God told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to them. So that means everybody other than the devil has to be important to the church. Believe that. And watch how that will change your life. Who's our only enemy? Let's act like it. It's not your neighbor. It's not your family. It's not people. It's the devil. And we have to believe that God, that Jesus gave us power, physical and strength and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. He didn't give us power over the devil. He gave us power over all the devil's power. So the devil's going to always have his power, but it just won't be effective against us. If we don't refuse to believe. I'm packing up. Folks, the reason it's so hard for me to stop is because I have this great care and love for all of you. And I want to give you everything that I got because I want you to have everything that God wants you to have. And if he's telling it to me, then I'm supposed to give it to you. And sometimes the time frames just don't match up. And we don't see you enough. But I think you have enough to hold you till next Sunday and beyond. That doesn't mean you don't have to come next Sunday.